The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I know this is an individual award and it says most valuable player on it, but I think it's derived from team success, and I love my team. We got such a great locker room in Buffalo, and it takes everybody from the equipment staff to the training room to the strength staff to Slick Rick in the mailroom to the cafeteria upstairs. It truly takes everybody to have team success, and I'm so fortunate to be a part of a great organization.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels
up. Well, the Buffalo Bills won't have a Super Bowl trophy, but they do have an MVP.
Yeah.
That's
true. So that's good. Josh Allen won the MVP last night.
He did. I got a funny story about this. I didn't watch it. I didn't remember that it was on. I didn't remember that last night they were giving out the MVP, because I have been trying to not think about what happened a week or two ago.
Yeah.
So I've been avoiding, you know, sports news and all that stuff, and I just completely forgot. What I really even didn't remember, that I bet $100 in August that Josh Allen would win the MVP.
Oh, what was it?
Paid $1,000.
Oh,
so that's awesome.
So it was,
that's
like
better
a little
than a Super Bowl.
It's not.
It is.
It is.
You got $1,000
in the radio business. It is.
Yeah.
No, it definitely is not. In fact, my mom texted me this morning, and this is what she said. She just turned 80 this week, and she said, at least Josh got MVP, which he certainly deserved, as, in capital letters, as hollow as it is.
Yes.
That's my, as hollow
she's right.
as it is.
She has perspective.
Yeah, she does.
She gets
it. Okay, and I will say, I was talking about likability yesterday, and Josh Allen is super likable. I think Mahomes and Kelsey are maybe a little bit victims of overexposure, but Josh Allen was likable before, but Slick Rick in the mailroom, if you're the quarterback saying that, I do think it probably means that he's a guy that is getting to know everyone, no matter how low on the pay scale you are, right? Whatever you're, whoever's contributing.
Josh is an unbelievable human being.
That's awesome.
In fact, this morning when they announced he won the MVP last night, there was a video from this children's hospital where he goes to visit all the time, from the kids and their parents just congratulating him on winning the MVP.
Yeah.
These people in Buffalo, we have wrapped our arms around Josh from the beginning. He exudes being a Buffalo guy. He is the nicest. He's always there, like, signing autographs for kids and doing all that kind of stuff. He's just an amazing human being, and I just wish one of these days he could get a Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this question. Would you rather have a nice guy MVP or a butthole winning Super Bowls?
That's a great question.
It is a good question.
It is not a good question. The answer is very clearly butthole winning Super Bowls. You want a jerk?
So,
I will have a jerk.
As a Chicago Bears fan, you are very familiar with jerks at quarterback.
Oh,
yes.
Jay Cutler, jerk. Didn't win a Super Bowl.
But he didn't win a Super Bowl either.
That's the worst combination.
If I said right now the Bears are going to take Aaron Rodgers and win a Super Bowl with him next year, you'd be okay with that?
Well, he can't win.
No,
he
but
sucks
I'm just saying,
now.
Let's
but
say
if,
he can.
If,
would you do it? Because you hate that guy.
Yeah, I hate him. He's awful.
But what if
I hate everything about him.
What if
to your point.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have him winning Super Bowls.
Would you?
Darkness retreat. Yeah. Ayahuasca
is
using.
Bold. Oh my god!
You know,
god.
Come on, and psychopath or whatever he is, would have him.
Yeah.
You wouldn't mind if he won the Super Bowl?
Oh, totally not. Yeah, let's go.
Okay,
I would be the first, right, but to buy an Aaron Rodgers jersey.
Would you?
Yeah, if he was winning Super Bowls for my team.
Okay. Well.
All right.
Even though he can't play anymore because he's old. Okay.
He is he's starting to look a little mangy. It's the manginess of it that really puts it over the edge.
Really happy with himself.
Scott, what will you be doing Sunday?
Not watching the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I've watched the previous ones. Yeah, it's kind of broken my will this year, and I can't do it. Which is fine. I mean, I'll see what happened at the end. And well, I missed the MVP thing last night.
Well,
so.
I've been following sports, and I didn't know that was last night.
But I am aware that there is a game on Sunday at 5:30 or whatever it is. And that they'll play a lot of cute, funny commercials and all that. So, I just think I'm just going to skip it altogether.
You should go do something that would normally be crowded but won't be. Maybe you could go bowling.
Which they'll have it on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
Is Shamrock doing a hate watch party?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of, no. You know.
You should find a hate watch party.
Here, you should. You and your lovely lady friend should go to, like, a Paul Mono's, which is always very crowded. Go have dinner. You'll be able to get in because everybody will be watching the game. And you'll be looking at pictures of Frank Sinatra.
This is not a bad idea.
You could pick.
This
or,
is not a bad
you
idea.
You know what else? I don't know if
or
it's open on
just
Sundays.
Go to a Chinese restaurant.
You could go to a Chinese restaurant. None of the above.
Like Jewish Christmas. People on Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. None of the above. The Gerard Kraft Speakeasy. Impossible to get into. Wright's Tavern. Maybe you could get in. This could be roaming St. Louis. These are all the places that I got into during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I like this idea. I'm being football agnostic on Sunday.
That's fair.
Right?
I feel like you're hostile towards it.
You are. Yeah, that's true.
Agnostics are a little bit like me.
Okay. Then I'm being football hostile against.
Like an atheist. You're the atheist version of football.
Can I tell you, I feel it. I feel what you're saying because if my team's ever in the playoffs, any of them, you know, Cardinals, Bears, whatever, the first round they lose, I have a real difficult time watching the next.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see it.
Right. And you know, it's just the, you talked about the, you know, the, what do you call it? Overexposure and the Chiefs and Taylor Swift and all that just kind of grinds you down. But actually, I've done very well. I mean, there have been times in my life when they, you know, when they lost the four Super Bowls in a row when I was younger. I mean, I was depressed for a long time. This time, I got over it really quickly. And, you know, I'm okay.
Define get over.
I don't know. They're just. Other priorities to think about. I kind of was just exhausted by this. I loved the season that we had, but I was exhausted by the end. And then losing in the way we did again to the same team, it just was like too much for me. And it's okay. I'm going to enjoy next season, but I'm going to wait till it comes around.
And you've got $1,000.
$1,000
in my pocket.
Man, I need to put a bet on something.
Hey, $1,000, that'll buy you some Chiefs fatigue.
All right.
That's what that'll get you. Hey, tell us about.
Yeah. Speaking of roaming St. Louis,
roaming
where
St.
I
Louis.
Actually went was Annie Gunn's restaurant.
Oh, yes.
Out on 64 Chesterfield.
In the valley.
And I met with the chef, the executive chef there, Lou. And a guy I had not met but had heard about. His name is Tony White, but his nickname is Tony Tomato.
I got to know Tony Tomato.
He's cool, and he grows his own produce. He serves about 80 restaurants in the area. He used to work at the Yellow Pages, you know, lost his job or quit because the Yellow Pages disappeared. And then he planted some seeds and took some heirloom tomatoes to Lou at the restaurant. And he was like, wow, these are pretty good. You got to work on it a bit, but they're pretty good. And from there, he has built his own business. He's out in Defiance, got some farmland out there, and he's buying up little tiny pieces, little parcels in urban areas now to grow, you know, peppers and tomatoes. And, and so it's really cool. And Annie Gunn's, I know, Amy, you have connections there, but it's a cool restaurant because it's so farm to table. It's all local.
Yep.
And the food is high quality.
I mean, and even like in the summer, sometimes the owners, the Tom and Jane Sainert, will have like their own berries, right, that they're growing, or, you know, tomatoes, even supplementing, so that you know that all of that, all of the fruits, the vegetables are local and fresh and peak quality. You said something really interesting as we, because I know we got to let you go, but with Tony Tomato, how the tariffs might affect him?
Well, he's preparing for the idea that there will be a bigger need for his product.
Yeah.
If these tariffs are onerous on other countries, and then so local growers and producers here will benefit and they will take advantage of it. And he's preparing to do that, which is why he's buying up these little parcels.
Yeah,
so
okay.
He's thinking ahead, and it's a great interview with both of them, Lou and Tony.
Lou
and
Rook.
It'll be part of, it'll be part of Total Information AM Sunday. And also chat with Stu Mack. We're talking about world records this week, which should be fun.
Nice. Chat with Stu Mack.
Awesome.
Three good things. Roaming St. Louis.
Yep.
All Sunday morning on 6:30
to
9:30.
6:30 to 9:30.
And go to the Smokehouse, which is right next to Annie Gunn's.
Oh yeah.
With the and the beef jerky there is the best beef jerky in the whole entire world.
Well, Tony bragged about the burger at Annie Guns.
Oh, the burger at Annie Guns
burger
is amazing.
Is
phenomenal.
Scott Jagow will be listening on Sunday.
Thanks for having
me. Glad you're doing okay.
I will be just fine.
Wanted to check in on you.
I am an involved human being.
Okay. Doing great.
Except Matt's laughing because he's seen me at a Bills game.
Yeah, I've seen you at the Bills game.
Never mind.
I said there's
forget
no
what I just said.
No chance in hell I'm going over there today. I don't want to walk into that funeral. Scott Jagow. Love you, buddy. Scott Jagow, KMOX reporter and anchor. When we come back, you might want to walk out the room for this. Danan Hughes, Kansas City Chiefs radio analyst.
He always follows me on the
show. He joins us next. Finally here this weekend is the Super Bowl, and the Kansas City Chiefs are in it yet again with a chance to three-peat. They'll take on Philly, and we are joined once again by our guy, Danan Hughes, former receiver for the Chiefs and the current radio analyst for all of Chiefs football. Danan, what's up?
Good morning. Happy 48 hours before history.
It's 48 hours before you hit him in the mouth.
What? I couldn't understand. What'd you say?
48 hours before you hit him in the mouth.
There we go. I just wanted a double dose, Amy. That's all. That's all. Yes, it's 48 hours before we hit people in the mouth and make history. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm down here in New Orleans and just roaming around trying to buy time. I think, you know, there's so much time between the last game against the Buffalo Bills and the Super Bowl. I get around the team hotel. I'm talking to the coaches in preparation for the game, and it seems like a couple of days ago, I would say, they got to the point where it was like, okay, let's get the game here. And you'd like to be able to press fast forward and it already be Sunday, because I think these guys are you know, chomping at the bit, ready for this opportunity, and it's going to be a great game. It's going to be fun.
So what are players doing, other than they've got walkthroughs and stuff like that, in the week leading up to it? The number one thing, I would think, is to stay healthy, no practice injuries, none of that stuff. So what are the guys doing the last several days?
So this week is more like game week, and if you've ever been around the NFL, or obviously you're interviewing me, but other players, it's about routine, and it's about structure. And even though they're in a hotel and there's so much hoopla around, and you got family and friends and everything that comes with being in the Super Bowl and being the final two teams representing in the NFL, the structure is the structure. The routine is the routine. And whether they have an itinerary every single day that involves meetings and practices and film study, meals, mandatory meals, et cetera. So every coach tries to keep this week as close to the normal week 10, week 5, week 18 routine that you would have during the season. It's tougher, but at the same time, there's some ways it's kind of easier, because think about it, during the regular season, when guys left the facility, they were gone until the next day. So they could do whatever they want, go wherever they wanted. You know, they could be at home studying, or they could be out in the social scene, or out eating dinner, or wherever else. Down here, let me tell you first that it's like Fort Knox around New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's Army National Guard. There's you know, weapons, and I mean, there's officers with rifles drawn, and every single corner is lit. Every corner has at least two police cars and multiple policemen, and then the National Guard around as well. So not only does it make you feel safe, but it also kind of gives you a comfort in that the players are just not going to be roaming around doing anything. There's, like, they're going to stay structured and in their routine, and a lot of guys are superstitious anyway, so they don't want to get outside of whatever their normal superstitions are. So it's cool for the week. It's cool to watch and see the guys roam around the hotels, but you know they're here for business.
I imagine, you know, obviously it's the Super Bowl. That can be a motivating factor. But you also want that routine. Like, we've got to go and get to work. So what is that balance of using the bigness of the game, but also knowing you're not here to soak it in, you're here to do a job?
Yeah, I think every player recognizes that. And the cool thing, as young as these guys are, you know, sometimes we like to put them in a box of the normal 22-year-old, the normal 25-year-old, or what we would do when we were 22 or 25, and you cast a bunch of money in front of us and opportunity for parties and so on. But when you talk to a lot of these guys, especially this team, what's really cool is that they're saying things like, hey, the parties will be more incredible after we win. Like, these parties now, they're like, this is junior varsity partying compared to what we're going to do after we win and we make history. And that seems to kind of be the mindset that's resonating around the locker room, is that they're just focused on the task at hand. And can you imagine how tough that is? I mean, I think back to my rookie year, 93, when we went to the AFC Championship, and had we went to the Super Bowl, it was in Atlanta. And it would have been the next week. So it wasn't even a week between. I think that was maybe the last year where they did not have a week between the game. Mm-hmm. And that was special, special time where, you know, you started to think about what you were going to do that week. And I was, what, 23 at the time? And so I, you know, you had to kind of stay focused at the, on the task at hand. But imagine now with social media, you know, camera phones, all that stuff, and you have to, you know, be ready for business, especially against a team that's looking for redemption and retribution.
Got to be careful this week. Can't go out and get loose. All those people with their cell phone cameras. So, again, you mentioned that they are about to make history, at least you believe they're going to, by winning their third straight Super Bowl. Going up against Philly, what is the biggest concern that you've got about facing the Eagles?
I think the number one concern is always about the run game, and you guys have heard me say it. There's nothing more demoralizing. There's nothing more in your face and kind of a slap in the face to your manhood in football when someone can impose their will upon you specifically in the run game. So when you think about how dominant that run game has been, and for the Eagles, like, if you're thinking about a recipe, not only for success, but for that redemption I'm talking about, one part of it is we're going to punch you in the mouth by running the football. And when you think we're going to pass, we're going to run it again and run it again and run it again and just beat you down to the ground, not just on the scoreboard, but in your hearts and in your souls. So I feel like if I'm thinking like Nick Sirianni and I got a chip on my shoulder like he does, I'm thinking that that's the way they're going to try to attack us. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to come out in the first play of the game and just run it 1-2-3 down our throats. They may set it up a little bit. They may have play action to open the game and try for a home run throw and then get back to the run game. But I think the core of their approach and their attack against this Chiefs team is to hold the ball for as long as possible, which is the run game, keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, and then get us into the mode of, hey, they've had the ball for 6-7 minutes. We only got it for 3 minutes. Let's hurry up and try to score, and let's do something drastic, and that will open the door for us to make a mistake. So I feel like that could be their mindset and their game plan, and we just have to be able to stay within ourselves. The one cool thing that we've seen with this team, not just this year, but last year and the previous year, is that we've had the ability to knock guys out of their game plan, to make them do things that they wouldn't normally do, whether it's going for it on fourth down, whether it's throwing the ball all over the lot, whether it's just, you know, making errors in regards to defensive approaches and pressures. And we can't fall victim to what we've made other people do. And I think that's what the Eagles want us to do. And that's where the chess match in this game is going to come become viable.
All right, Sunday, it's the Super Bowl. Kansas City tries to three-peat. Dane and Hughes, enjoy the game. Good luck to you. And we will talk to you, we're going to do it win or lose, right? One more time, we're going to talk to you on Monday.
Absolutely. Let's talk on Monday. Hopefully I will be in good condition and my voice will be halfway normal.
You'll be all right.
After you punch a few people in the mouth, you seem to get the energy back.
That's right.
And that's what I'm looking for.
Danan, get him. We've enjoyed it. So we will talk to you on Monday.
All right. Sounds good.
Danan Hughes, Kansas City Chiefs radio analyst, former wide receiver, as the Chiefs are trying to win their third straight Super Bowl. Again, no team has ever done that. That's Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. As we mentioned earlier, Torrey Holt misses out on the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Again, we're going to get Mike Claiborne's thoughts next. Spring training is happening soon. Pitchers and catchers are going to report on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, those pitchers and catchers will have their first workout in Jupiter, Florida. We are excited about that, excited about Cardinals baseball, which you can listen to on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. If you download it, you can listen to KMOX all the time, the podcast, and then, again, Cardinals games for free on your phone. Time to go to the guest line. Mike Claiborne is part of that Cardinals broadcast team with John Rooney and Ricky Horton, and he is with us from Florida on KMOX. What's going on, Claibs?
It is all good here in Florida. The highs for the rest of the week and going into next week are going to be low to mid 80s. There's not a cloud in the sky. They're working feverishly over at Roger Dean Stadium, getting things ready for everybody to come over and play catch next week with pitchers and catchers. And, players are here. They're doing their thing, and you can just feel the energy in the area as baseball is about to unfold here in Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter, Florida in 2025.
We'll get to some of that in a moment, but last night, the revelation of the Hall of Fame class for pro football. Yeah, Torrey Holt misses out again. Now it's 11 years for him.
Ugh. Well, there's a lot of guys who missed out last night that I thought should have been in there. I think the head scratchers were Sterling Sharp, rather. When you put his numbers up against Torrey Holt and Marvin and Reggie Wayne, it's embarrassing. And, Eric Allen was a Pro Bowler once. And Darren Woodson's sitting there with multiple rings. Every one of these sports has a different method of electing people into their Hall of Fame, and I think the NFL one is the most flawed one because they put some people in a room and you have to state your case for a certain individual, and then they vote. And I just think that that's wrong because it's the same people. And let's face it, Sterling Sharp's numbers haven't changed since he left the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Torrey Holt didn't lose yards last year. So I just think it's flawed and it's embarrassing. It really is because, these sports, there's a lot of people who are deserving. And to make this thing so tenuous is just, it's just like you're trying to wield this power for all the wrong reasons. There are a lot of deserving athletes that should be in the Hall of Fame, especially in pro football. And for the reason why these people elect to play this game, and that's what it is, because here's what they're doing. They're sitting in there horse trading. I'll vote for your guy if you vote for my guy. And so when they can't come to an agreement, somebody else's name gets on the ballot and slips in, and he gets in by a couple of votes. And the next thing you know, we're looking at each other saying, what the hell just happened?
Claibs, do you think there is some kind of latent or maybe just out there anti-St. Louis bias in the voting?
I think there is. I think the fact it's out of sight, out of mind. I know Howard Balzer is still part of the voting committee. And, Howard's been there for a long, long time. He's very well respected. But I don't know who else is championing the cause of anybody from the St. Louis Rams. And that's the concern I have because we're not part of that equation anymore as far as success. They've moved on. And it's unfortunate. And who knows what the NFL has said to certain voters. I mean, we've known they're underhanded. If you don't think so, go ask Bob Blitz on how they had to settle with St. Louis and spend $750 million not for the truth to come out. So we know those things can happen. But I believe that there is a little bias towards St. Louis and not the Rams. And it's a shame that Torrey Holt's not part of this. And I'll tell you another guy who should be in this thing. And I haven't seen him on the ballot yet, but you tell me who was a better linebacker and played every day, whether it was St. Louis or the Washington Commanders, is London Fletcher. London Fletcher's numbers are as good as anybody as a middle linebacker. So I think they've got a problem. It's a flawed system. They're not going to change it. And we're just kind of stuck with it. But you feel bad for a guy like Torrey Holt who's done nothing wrong.
So,
but, you know, they put some other joker in there.
Yeah. So does he get in, you know, does he get in next year,
you know,
think?
Chris, I used to say, yeah, he'll get in next year. But I just don't know anymore. I mean, it's just the selection last night. Now, granted, Antonio Gates, no problem with. Jared Allen, solid, really good player, had over 100 sacks in his career, probably Hall of Fame worthy. I just had a problem with the other two, and Sterling Sharp and Eric Allen. I mean, they were good players, but I didn't see how they all of a sudden became better than Darren Woodson or Torrey Holt, and the numbers don't lie. And I'm trying to remember what year was Eric Allen on a Super Bowl team. You know, because that's always the end-all discussion. Well, you win the Super Bowl. Okay, yeah, you're right. If that's what it comes down to, and if that's what weighs on whether you're a Hall of Fame-worthy individual, I'll play along. So he didn't even do that. As I said, he's been a Pro Bowler once. But yep. Somebody thought it was a good idea. And Sterling Sharp's numbers are vastly below Torrey Holt. And, you know, Sterling Sharp kind of left the game kind of with a salty taste in his mouth, and it carried over into his broadcasting career. And I remember when his career came to a screeching halt, I believe it was in Jacksonville when they had the Super Bowl, and he showed out, and the next thing you know, he was done and hasn't been heard from since. So I was a little surprised by him being part of this, you know, but he's in, so congratulations to him and his family. But at the end of the day, Torrey Holt should be in there. Darren Woodson should be in there. There's about four or five other guys I thought had a legitimate chance. Now, I know there was some that thought Eli Manning was the first ballot guy. You know, Eli Manning won a couple Super Bowls, and he's a really good player. But, you know, for some unknown reason, we reserve this first ballot thing as if it's ultra sacred. Hey, once you're in, you're in. You could be a first ballot or a fifth ballot or a 12th year. It doesn't make a difference.
Do it in baseball, too.
Yeah. You know, and their system is flawed. You know, when you have one person who wants to hold out to say that, you know, like in Ichiro's case, and then won't even step forward to say why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
that's irritating.
And, you know, in a way, I kind of get it because, like, when we vote for our leaders, if you vote for president, I'm not going to ask you who did you vote for, and you're not going to ask me who. You know, that's our privilege. That's our privilege to say we won't discuss it. Some people say, yeah, I voted for Trump. Some people say, yeah, I voted for Harris. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. But for a person in this situation, considering the magnitude that it has with regard to the credibility of the organization, that be it the Writers Association, you got to step up and tell us what we're missing on why you didn't think Ichiro was a first ballot candidate.
Klabes, we just chatted with Danan Hughes, the analyst on the radio broadcast
My
for
man.
The Chiefs. That's right. And we talked about the upcoming game and the running game being huge. And especially if you have success, like if the Eagles have success in their running game against the Chiefs, it's not just on the scoreboard. It's also like a personal affront. But I also wanted to ask about the coaching, because Andy Reid has plays that he keeps in his pocket until the Super Bowl. And he is such, you know, one of the preeminent coach, perhaps one of the best coaches ever. Does that lend a psychological advantage to a team like the Chiefs when even your coach has tricks up his sleeve?
Yeah, that's a great question, Amy, because, you know, in this day and age, coaches now have about a half a dozen plays that they practice starting in July. And they'll take away some time in multiple practices to run that play. And they'll put it in their back pocket. And as I've told some of my friends, I said, don't be surprised to see not necessarily a trick play, but a play that probably hasn't been seen on video by the opposing coaches. So, you know, you have to kind of prepare. I'm of the belief when it comes down to the Super Bowl, you have to prepare for four plays that you haven't seen. And how you do that? Well, you just have to trust your fundamentals and be in the right place at the right time and don't take the bait. But both of these coaches, and the fact is that they've seen each other so much over the last 3 years. So there's nothing that's going to be too fancy or too cute that they haven't seen before. So you just have to stay with your values and stay with your fundamentals and don't overreact. I mean, both of these teams have some very good athletes, and the Philadelphia Eagles have as good of an offensive line on the right side that I think I've seen in a long time. I mean, you have a guard that's 6'8" and 365 pounds who runs a 5'1" 40. That's pretty good. And once they start moving that heaven and earth, that be it the Kansas City Chiefs, it's going to be interesting because somebody's got to block Chris Young, and I don't think the Chiefs have anybody who can block Jalen Carter. I mean, he's just been creating havoc from day one. So the game is going to be like it always is, decided up front. I know everybody thinks, well, the quarterback's got to have a good day. Yeah, he does. But, you know, his day is a lot better when somebody's blocking in front of him and the running game is working. So it's going to be a game that it's going to be very physical. They're going to get pushed around. And I just think that with Philadelphia's offensive line, if they can establish a running game, it'll be interesting to see how Kansas City counters that in the fourth quarter. Because, you know, when you start getting somebody leaning on you that's over 360 pounds, and it's going to take a little bit more than an arm tackle to bring some of these guys down, and especially when Barkley is running the ball so well, fatigue may set in. Fortunately, they're playing indoors, so they don't have to deal with humidity. But you think about somebody leaning on you for 3.5 quarters, and you got to try and figure out how to grab some grass and hold on and then tackle somebody too. It can be a challenge.
All right, Klabes, I said I wanted to get to a Cardinals thing before we said goodbye. With spring training starting next week, Nolan Arenado, for now, still on the team. Do you think they will report to camp when it's position player time and he will still be there?
You know, it just depends on where Alex Bregman goes. I think that's the bigger issue. And you know, nobody's moving until Bregman, who wants a long-term deal. Once he's signed, then I think we'll know about Nolan Arenado. But I'll tell you something, Chris, which is interesting that you bring up. What if he gets here, Bregman still isn't signed, and now all of a sudden, you know, you have to figure out, okay, well, are we still trading him, or are teams going to still be interested? Because obviously teams who may have a slight interest also have to have a plan B in the event that they don't get him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's here next week. I really wouldn't be. And again, unless Bregman signs before next week. Now, if he signs, the dominoes start to fall.
All right, Mike Claiborne, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy Florida, and we will talk next Friday.
I have two words. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. By the way, who do you guys like in the Super Bowl?
I have to go with the Chiefs, Claibs, for myriad reasons, but also, even objectively, I love a good dynasty. I'd love to see it.
See, I want to see a three-peat. I've never seen it before in football.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think the Eagles are a better team now than they were the first time they faced Kansas City.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be one of the more epic games that we've seen Super Bowl-wise in some time. And we've seen some good ones over the last few years, but I think this one can take the cake.
Well, you asked who do I like.
Yes.
There's a difference between who I think is going to win and who do I like. It'll probably be the Chiefs.
Well, who are you making a wager on?
It would
from your wallet to your heart.
Yeah, it would be Kansas City. It's okay. Like I said earlier, it's very difficult to lose when you have Patrick Mahomes and all the officials.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Amy, I'm sorry I asked both you guys that question. I know. I should just ask you.
That's okay, Klabes. It's an honest mistake.
Right,
all right. Thank you.
See you, Klabes.
Talk next week. Adios.
Yep, from spring training, the site of spring training again. Pitchers and catchers will report on Tuesday. Their first workout will be on Wednesday, less than a week away from spring training.
And next week, we'll be able to say, next week.
All right, let's
is
not confuse people. Let's not confuse people. Don't you see? Now I'm confused. Don't do it.
Wow, that train of thought is pretty short tracks on
you. You're like, next week, we'll be able to say next week is spring. See, you've confused everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
That's Amy Marks Kors. That's what she does. I'm Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Well, we told you to panic, and we told you that your chances of winning are very slim, and yet we continue to give away tickets to the Outlaw Festival June 28th at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Today's the last day, man.
This is it.
We weren't joking.
You're probably going to lose.
Probably.
But it doesn't mean you shouldn't try. It is totally free to try.
Honestly, I think failing builds character. I'm a big fan of failure.
You shouldn't get everything you want whenever you want it.
So maybe we are making the listeners better people.
Well, we've been doing that, but this is just another element of it.
Resilience.
You've got to build resilience.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, what are you going to do when real adversity hits?
That's exactly right. If you can't handle losing out on tickets to the Outlaw Festival,
then
we got bigger problems.
And if you can't handle listening to instructions, then you don't deserve these tickets because this is not the time to call.
They're not calling, are they?
They're calling.
Oh, my gosh.
I will let you know. We will let you know when it is time to win the tickets for the Outlaw Festival. That time is not now.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And so remember,
look at him. There's calling another person. Call
and remember,
not now.
Remember when it is time. What number do you call, Ranj?
I'm not telling him. I'm not telling.
I won't tell you the number, but just when it's time to call, it's the contest line.
Yeah, there's a contest line.
We'll
but
give
we're not
that
giving
number.
You the number.
No, well,
not
later.
Now,
yeah.
At some point before the show is over, will be your opportunity to win those tickets. Also, we want you to know that we tell you about the Odyssey app all the time where you can listen to the show live and Cardinals baseball and the podcast when the show's over, all of that. You can also ask your smart speaker to play KMOX and your smart speaker will play KMOX. It will actually also, if you say play the Chris and Amy show, I believe it gives you the last episode, the most recent episode will just start playing.
And also with the podcast, because I know this is a long show, could be long. It goes by quickly for us. But you can also either podcast it by hour or you can pick a certain segment. Like, hey, I missed a segment with Major Garrett. And I actually do that even though I'm on the show. I will go back and listen. When I'm on vacation, guess what I listen to? The Chris and Amy show.
You did?
I do.
That's Amy.
Because I just want to hear what's going on.
When you go away, it's time to go away.
First of all, it sounds like I'm going to jail.
Right.
Well, I'm not going to jail.
I don't think you do well in jail.
Also, kind of fun, we're playing an acronym game in the 12 o'clock hour because there are so many acronyms that we see every day.
Yeah.
That we're like, okay, yeah, I know what that is. But
like
do
Doge?
You? Like Doge?
Does everybody know that it's the Department of Government Efficiency?
I don't know. I don't know if everybody, I mean, they do now because you just told them. Hope that wasn't in the game. But that's going to be kind of fun because that will be in the 12 o'clock hour. We're going to play the acronym game. So you do not want to miss that.
Also, one of my favorite things is the stupid Super Bowl prop bets.
Oh, yeah.
So for those who are not bettors, people who don't really know what a prop is, here's what it is. You can bet on parts of the game that will happen on Sunday. And it's stupid things. You've heard a million times about the Gatorade color. You can bet on what color of Gatorade will be dumped on the coach. So orange, purple, blue, sometimes clear, whatever. You can bet on that. You can bet on how long the national anthem is going to be. But there are some others you probably are not aware of. And we're going to talk about some of those prop bets. We will talk about immigration status as it pertains to people who have been arrested for crimes in the state of Missouri because there are some changes coming up there. All of that in the next hour and an opportunity to win tickets to the Outlaw Festival. We will tell you when it is time. And by the way, Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan will be playing at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater June 28th. It's Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX.